emergency episode of the College Football Daily. Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 is reporting that Texas and Oklahoma are officially leaving the Big 12, barring any unforeseen developments, and will join the Southeastern Conference. And the scoop here is that Texas and OU officials plan to inform the Big 12 on Monday that they won't renew when the Big 12's grant of rights expire in 2025, which would, of course, clear the path for Texas and OU to formally join the SEC. Trey Scott, I'm joined right now by Blake Brockermeyer, college football analyst for 24/7 Sports, and Chris Hummer, national college football reporter for 24/7 Sports. Guys, I think we've probably got too much Texas representation here, but this is, you know, the big story of the week, and I wanted to get the voices on. Chris, just sit tight. We're going to go to Blake first. Blake's a first-round pick. He played at Texas. I think he probably deserves to go first here. I've seen you play football, Chris. Blake, we'll ask Chris for like kind of like the legalese details here. But when you saw this news today, when you've been hearing the whispers all week, what is your immediate reaction for what this does to Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC?
I think it's an amazing thing. I think it's going to be great for everyone involved. I think joining the premier conference in college football that has, you know, the vast majority of the best players in college football on the biggest stage is going to be great. I mean, you take, you know, two of the blue blood programs in the country and you add them to, you know, what the SEC's already got, and it just becomes a superpower.
Chris, do you think they're going to be waiting until 2025 to officially join the SEC? That feels like a long time to kind of be separated.
I would be shocked if they were going to be in this together for another 4 years. That is a really awkward four-year period if you're waiting that long. If this is going to happen, I would imagine it happens in 2022, 2023. I know the Big 12 ADs on their call last night were discussing buyouts. Chip Brown was saying Texas is willing to wait till 2025 in his story. But as you said, I can't imagine that being the scenario. This is going to cause so many dominoes to fall. You're going to start seeing schools like Kansas talking to places like the Big Ten and the ACC about potentially moving on. So I don't really think you're going to see all eight of the other Big 12 schools wanting to wait either. This is going to fall apart pretty quickly. And I would be shocked if Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC by like 2023 at the latest.
Yeah, Chip was breaking the numbers down. To leave earlier, each school would have to pay out nearly $160 million each. So pandemic year, that's a lot of money.
Texas's revenue every year, I believe, is like $210 million under normal circumstances. I think Oklahoma's probably closer to $160 million. So it's a significant amount of money. But when you're making a decision like this, it's clearly a long-term play. To move to the SEC, you're going to move your yearly take from the SEC from probably like $50 to $60 million with the new television contract, as opposed to like mid-30s under the Big 12. So I think Texas is thinking they can make this up in the long run, and they're willing to pay it up front, most likely, if it means kind of getting the ball rolling with the SEC.
Blake, do you think this can sort of salvage Texas's long-term football hopes? Oklahoma, I don't quite understand why they want to do this outside of making more money. I mean, they're running through the Big 12 every season. For Texas, I think it was clear that the lack of an SEC alliance was hurting them on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think, you know, it definitely, I think this is going to really help Texas in recruiting. You know, A&M's got the SEC logo in the state of Texas, and you know, a vast majority of kids want to play against the best and the best conference. And so definitely hurts Texas. You know, I don't think the Big 12 is a really appealing conference to a lot of kids besides just being close to home if you're from Texas. But, you know, kind of like you said, you know, it does kind of surprise me. I mean, Oklahoma's pretty much dominated the Big 12 for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years or maybe even longer. But and it makes them pretty much a sure thing to have a really good chance to get in. But I think, you know, this will help both schools in recruiting. You know, they'll play against the best. It'll be great for the fans. They'll have, you know, incredible games to attend, home games. I mean, you know, I look at my season tickets, you know, and every year I'm like, wow, they're really unappealing for the most
Kansas
part.
State.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great home slate. I mean, you know, next year they have Alabama at home, which is going to be a huge game. But so I think that'll help. And it's just, you know, it's just the brand. I mean, the Texas and Oklahoma brand, you add that to the SEC, and it just creates a great fit for everyone involved. The truth is, I mean, to me, the SEC East, I don't know how they're going to break this thing up, but the East needs some firepower in it. I mean, they've got, two strong teams in it pretty much every year. The West is a really strong division as it is, but the East needs somebody that's a really good team, or, you know, two teams even. So I think this will really hopefully balance out the powers in the SEC a little bit more, and, you know, make it a even a more competitive conference. And, you know, with the expansion in the playoffs coming in the next few years, I mean, the SEC is going to have 4 to 6 spots in the playoff every year.
Who do you guys think are the losers here? We'll name one each. Is it A&M? Is it a Big 12 school? Is it Oklahoma State? Hummer, what do you think?
It's schools like Baylor. It's schools like Kansas State. It's schools like Iowa State that had a Power 5 spot for a long time. In some ways, in a lot of ways, they were propped up by Texas and Oklahoma, and I can understand Texas and Oklahoma wanting to move on. But I think when the musical chairs stop here in a year and a year and a half or 2 years or whatever it's going to be, those are the type of schools that might get left out in the cold when we're talking about new super conferences or kind of an NFL-like situation with a lot of top teams kind of being in pods or whatever it is. Like, those are the schools that are going to kind of get left out.
It's hard to imagine someone's going to want Kansas for the basketball, and the Big Ten reports are already out there. And then you've got Baylor. Baylor just won a national title in hoops. They're probably like, you know, why are we getting assumed to be left behind? I was surprised. I thought Oklahoma State had a little bit more of a connection to Oklahoma. I didn't know those two could move without each other. I would imagine Oklahoma State will be a Power 5 school for sure somewhere. I don't know where it is. And then in the SEC, Blake, I know A&M is so unhappy about this. You figure their title window. I mean, once Texas joins the SEC, A&M's not going to have that recruiting advantage that they've had. So to me, they're a team that's furious about this. Do you agree with that? And is there anybody else who is kind of like, oh, okay, this just changed things for us?
I mean, I think it mostly affects A&M because, you know, they're the only school in Texas that's in the SEC, and, you know, they definitely are proud of that and make a big deal out of it, which they should. I mean, it's a big deal. I think down the road, or maybe even sooner than down the road, I mean, it's going to affect everyone in the SEC because, you know, having two great programs that have a great brand, that have a lot of followers and money and TV and you know, great matchups over the year, I think it's going to affect everyone in the SEC because it's going to be a little bit harder to come into the state of Texas and pick off some of the top players when, you know, you're already in the SEC. And so I think it'll strengthen both of those schools recruiting a little bit quicker than you would think, just having that SEC brand on them. And but I think, you know, kind of like Chris said, you know, the rest of the schools kind of left in the Big 12 are going to be kind of left at, you know, figure out where they're going to go. And it'll be interesting to see where they all land. But I mean, they're going to land somewhere. It's just a matter of what do the other conferences do? And you know, Notre Dame's the big chess piece on where they end up at, because once they figure out what they're going to do, then that really changed the landscape of all the conferences, I think.
I'm just curious, let's say if you're Mississippi State, are you happy to add Oklahoma and Texas to the league? Besides money, like from a competitive standpoint in football, are you happy to have Texas and Oklahoma come into the league?
I mean, I would think probably not. They're a competitive team and they've done some good things over the years. But I mean, I think that the team's kind of near the bottom of the SEC. I think that hurts them. I think even the mid-level schools, I think it's really going to depend on how they break it up. You know, there's a lot of great matchups and history and tradition in the SEC. And so, you know, Florida, Georgia is going to happen every year. I think, you know, the Iron Bowl is going to happen every year. I think, you know, some of the great, you know, rivalries. I mean, the Egg Bowl is going to, I mean, you would think those kind of things are going to be a yearly deal, but it'll be interesting to see how they break it up. They even, you know, break them up into two different divisions, or I've seen four, or just do it like the Big 12 does and say, hey, first and second place, you know, have at it. You guys are in the championship game. And then the other interesting piece to me is, you know, is the championship game even going to be as big a deal now? I mean, you've got all these games and more playoff games coming and more hits on the body for all these players. So, you know, at some point, you know, most fans would want college football to last 365 days a year if they could. But, you know, like for me, I have a different view because I got kids and that are doing it. I don't want them playing 20 games a year. I mean, that's not great on their bodies, and they're already in, you know, a tough sport as it is. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But it's going to be great for everyone involved, I think.
Yeah, I think the burning question is, you hit on it, Blake. It's how many games are you playing? Does SEC go to 9? How do the pods get broken up? I like the pod idea more than the divisions. What does success look like? Like in an expanded playoff, can you be in a tough SEC pod and go 8-4 and make the playoff? And the other conferences are hearing this and rolling their eyes. And so then the onus is on the Big Ten, the ACC, and I guess the Pac-12 to make a move here. Who can they add to strengthen their conference? And then what happens to the Big 12 and all of its wonderful institutions? We feel bad today for the Iowa States and the Baylors of the world. Well, I do. I don't know if you guys do, but we'll just have to see what happens. We'll end this. I appreciate you guys hopping on here for an emergency episode of the College Football Daily. For Blake Brockermeyer, for Chris Hummer, and our producer, Lance Glenn, I'm Trey Scott. Plenty of big news coming up in the next few weeks, I'm sure. Stay locked in to the College Football Daily.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.